WMEL.
WMEL, Cocoa Beach, Melbourne.
It's 2 o'clock.
At Gitmo, North Korea says they didn't do it. I'm Molly Page. The Pentagon has announced the transfer of 4 Guantanamo Bay detainees to Afghanistan. The release came within the last 24 hours. They had been held for more than a decade at the U.S. Military Detention Center in Cuba. An opposition leader from Cuba is expected to open a protest in Miami this afternoon against President Obama's plan to normalize relations. Correspondent Patrick Ottman attended Cuban President Raul Castro's speech earlier today. Ottman reports Castro's not willing to compromise on some issues.
In his opinion, the United States doesn't have the right to meddle in Cuba's affairs. He said that Cuba would not try to change its domestic policies or foreign policies.
National correspondent Ki Young Law reports North Korea is giving its first official response to the Sony hack. The country says it's being framed.
They want to see the evidence that President Obama and the FBI says that they have, that they can prove the opposite, that they have nothing to do with this.
5 people have died and 21 others have been hospitalized in a listeria outbreak. Reporter Marlis Majerus has more information from federal health officials.
A total of 28 people infected with listeria have been reported from 10 states, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. The CDC warns consumers not to eat any prepackaged, commercially produced caramel apples, including those with other toppings, until more information is available. The states include Missouri and New Mexico, which each had 5 cases, Minnesota, Texas and Arizona with 4 cases each, Wisconsin with 2, and Washington, California, Utah, and North Carolina with 1 case each.
AAA reports more than 90% of all those taking a trip will celebrate the holidays on the road, an increase of 4% from last year. People love their cars, and even more with lower gas prices. They continue to drop. Today's national average price, $2.55 per gallon, 69 cents less than a year ago. I'm Molly Page.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? I'm Jim O'Connor, independent life insurance agent specializing in term life insurance. There's been a price war between the major life insurance companies. If you've had your term life policy more than 2 years, you may be paying too much. For example, a male, age 45, non-tobacco user issue preferred best, $1 million of coverage is only $56 a month guaranteed level for 10 years. Or a male, age 50, non-tobacco user issue preferred best, $500,000 of coverage is only $91 a month guaranteed level for 20 years. The life insurance industry is going through exciting changes. Make sure you're not paying too much for your term insurance. For new or replacement term life insurance, call for a free quote. 800-799-0903. That's 800-799-0903. Don't pay too much for your term insurance. Call 800-799-0903 or visit my website at term22.com. That's term22.com. Rates based on standard underwriting and may vary by state.
Regifting is usually kept under wraps, but Michael Toscano tells us many of us celebrate it in our own quiet way.
In fact, more than 3 in 4 Americans find regifting socially acceptable, according to a recent survey from American Express, and last year consumers regifted an average of 4 presents. But there are rules. Don't regift a present among the same social circle. That can make you look bad. Some rules are common sense. A regift should fit the receiver's style or need. Don't regift with immediate family members. Just give them something you don't want and tell them what it is. Unless it's an heirloom or antique, a regift should always be something new. Keep the original packaging, but always rewrap, and this one is crucial. Double check to make sure a personal note or something extra wasn't added. I'm Michael Toscano.
All details. The Marine Corps' annual Toys for Tots campaign is marking its 68th season. The program collects thousands of toys nationwide and delivers them to families in need during the holidays. Perfect time to regift. I'm Molly Page.
Private mortgage insurance, or PMI, can cost you thousands. But with the PMI Advantage from Quicken Loans, you may never have to pay those expensive monthly mortgage insurance premiums again. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I'm excited to tell you that the Quicken Loans PMI Advantage is our lender-paid mortgage insurance program. You see, we pay the PMI so you don't have to. Make the smart call and talk to one of our home loan experts today at 800-QUICKEN. You'll learn how the Quicken Loans PMI Advantage can give you more options, more flexibility, and may save you thousands when you refinance. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And this year, for the first time, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. To learn more, call us at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Important terms and conditions apply. Call for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and MLS number 3030.
AM 1300 WMEL.
Partly sunny skies for this Saturday with a high today of 74. Tonight's low 57. Tomorrow a 20% chance of rain with a high of 77. Tomorrow night a 50% chance of rain, low of 65. Monday a 50% chance of rain with a high of 77. Tuesday a 50% chance of rain, partly sunny with a high of 78. It's the Garden Rebel, Robert Vincent Sims. Sunday mornings 10 a.m. to 12 noon here on AM 1300.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. I'm Slaughter.
And I'm Lawson.
And our new show is called Mouthing Off, Saturdays at 3 p.m. On our sports talk show, we tackle hard-hitting sports topics.
AM 1300 WMEL.
Partly sunny skies for this Saturday with a high today of 74. Tonight's low 57. Tomorrow a 20% chance of rain with a high of 77. Tomorrow night a 50% chance of rain, low of 65. Monday a 50% chance of rain with a high of 77. Tuesday a 50% chance of rain, partly sunny with a high of 78. It's the Garden Rebel, Robert Vincent Sims. Sunday mornings 10 a.m. to 12 noon here on AM 1300.
AM 1300 WMEL.
The views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of WMEL staff, management, or advertisers.
You're listening to AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station, and this is Donna Anselmo, host of Bold Talk Business Radio. Today's show, like every edition of our fabulous show, is produced with help from the WMEL team to inform, educate, and inspire you and other radio listeners to take the bold steps you need to take every day and in the right ways to launch yourself and your business or career to the next level. Did you know that people take their own selves, their personal self, everywhere they go? So whether they're operating in their business or their personal lives, they're carrying and operating based on their thoughts, their inner beliefs, their attitudes, and the inner storytelling that influences their lives. So our show is about bold thinking and strategies to get out of the ruts and to live the life that you really want to lead. And we are bringing you bold business experts every week who will inform and excite you with business insight, strategies, tips, tools, and practical information for your life. Each week, we have a different guest expert who shares bold new thinking and bold new strategies and best business practices and cutting edge business trends. So tune in with us every week on WMEL at 2 p.m. on Saturdays to learn new stuff and to stay on the continuous learning path to get yourself to the life that you really want to lead. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Joe Serio of joeserio.com. That's www.joeserio.com. And Joe Serio is a keynote speaker, trainer, author, and former coward, as he calls himself, who is known for his work in investigating the Russian mafia. And he has a new book series, the Get the Nerve series of books and workshops to empower people to live their dreams. So, Joe, welcome to Bold Talk Business Radio. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, Donna. Great to be here.
Well, I'm so glad that you were able to make time. I know you're really busy, and I know that you've had an extraordinary life that I've been lucky once in a while to share in a little bit. And I always find that the backstory to how people get where they are today is pretty fascinating, especially in a case like yours, where you've had so many unusual experiences, including working undercover in Russia, and now you're training law enforcement officers in the United States. So, Dr. Joe Serio, why don't you tell me a little bit, let's start with how you got where you are now, a little bit about how you're career progressed so that you overcame your own fear and actually got the nerve you needed to change your life and career.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the majority of the things that I talk about with my clients, whether in law enforcement, in companies, or entrepreneurs, is all based on dealing with fear. And the funny thing about coming at it from that angle is that I was afraid of everything growing up. So I was born and raised in New York. I live now in Texas, and they always make a comment that this is not exactly a Texas twang I have. And I was the ninth of 12 kids. So growing up in that environment, you know, I couldn't beat the older ones, right? My oldest brother's a priest. You can't beat them, right?
No.
And then my second oldest brother went to Ivy League school, and it just, you know, that kind of environment.
Right, and you have a brother who's a commissioner of insurance, as I recall.
Yeah, he's the former commissioner of insurance for the state of New York. And in our environment, my father had this kind of attitude that if you weren't doing anything extraordinary, there was no real need to praise you or comment about it. You know, so if you're just doing what's expected of you, then that's it. So I grew up thinking, as many millions of people do, that I'm not good enough, I can't do it, whatever I do isn't gonna satisfy, you know, I can't get the pat on the head from Dad, which was a big thing in our family. And so I grew up with all these wonderful ideas in my head. I wanted to study foreign languages, I wanted to travel around the world, I wanted to play rock and roll music, I wanted to perform and be on albums and you know, be on the newspaper covers and magazine covers and on TV and travel around the world, all these things that a lot of young people have, these gloriously romantic ideas about what would be cool to do. Well, the long and short of it is I didn't do any of them because I was convinced that I couldn't. I convinced it would never be good enough. And all of these reasons that people are afraid.
But then you had a transformation.
I did. And it came slowly, and it came from people around me, mentors, who challenged me to go do the things I was afraid of. So that whole list of things I just mentioned, you know, being on TV and playing rock and roll music, all that, I ended up doing all of those things. Because once I cracked the code, and anyone can do this, once you crack the code of your fear of the thing that's holding you back, it unleashes the energy you have, and it's related to your time management, it's related to your health and nutrition, it's related to how you interact with people at work, how you communicate with people at home, because all of these activities are based on fear. When people don't do these things well, if you talk to them long enough and you understand what's holding them back, it always comes back to fear of being embarrassed, fear of the unknown, fear of losing someone's affection or not being good enough to be approved or loved, fear of failure, and even fear of success. So a lot of us get caught in this loop of self-doubt, lack of confidence, which comes out of that fear.
And the fear happens to be generally something that people bring on for themselves, and it isn't always grounded in reality. So can you speak to that a little bit?
That is an awesome point. You know what happens to us? We start thinking, and we think so much, and the ideas that we come up with and the conclusions that we make for ourselves keep bouncing around our minds until they become something bigger and basically unrecognizable from fact. So we look at other people. For example, we judge our inside by how we see other people's outside. That's one thing we do. We say, oh, he looks so confident.
Right.
He's
so,
beautiful.
And so we make inner comparisons that may or may not be valid, but they're valid to us because we're believing them.
Exactly. And we forget that those people we're comparing and judging ourselves against have fears of their own. But that's the point you made earlier, is we get it inside our mind, and we work it over, and we think, and we ruminate, and we wring our hands, and before you know it, we don't know what's true anymore.
Right. Well,
we don't even know what we're capable of anymore.
Dr. Joe Serio, I read your book, Overcoming Fear, that's part of your Get the Nerve series, and one of the things that I really liked about it was that it was so practical and really down to earth, and it was very step by step. So if, you know, when people feel overwhelmed, and when, I mean, fear is a very complicated emotion. It, you know, I mean, it goes back to our very evolutionary beginnings. And then with, I guess, the evolution of the human brain and the dynamics of complex emotion, it's not always easy for people to deal with fear, and fear can be very overwhelming. So can you talk a little bit about some of the steps that you take? You talked about decoding. You know, if you can crack the code, you can really move forward and change things.
Yeah, in the book, Overcoming Fear, I give a 7-step action plan for how to deal with, how to begin overcoming that fear. And frankly, this comes out of my own experience, and I still use it. I mean, look, I don't think there's any such thing as somebody who is completely without fear. So these 7 steps are a tool that I use for myself. And very quickly, number one, acknowledge your fear. Acknowledge that you're afraid. So many of us, we pretend, we put on a good face, we don't want to be seen as weak or inadequate, so we pretend we're not afraid. The first step is acknowledge to yourself, look, I'm human, this is a new thing for me, I'm challenging myself, I'm getting outside of my comfort zone, I'm afraid.
Absolutely.
The second one,
I just was going to add, hang on 1 second, because I wanted to add something to that. Mm-hmm. When you acknowledge and challenge that emotion or even acknowledge it, just the act of thinking about it changes your body energy from, you know, being caught up in the sensation to, oh, I'm actually experiencing something. What is this about? And once you start thinking about that, you launch your mind and your body into another phase of the problem solving.
Yeah, exactly. And most of us never get to the first step of acknowledging.
Right. So your feeling can just be a messenger that'll say, hey, I need to change something here. And then once you start thinking about it, you can start to make a shift.
That's right. And if you allow yourself to acknowledge and face the fact, in one of the best-selling business books, Good to Great by Jim Collins,
yes,
he talks about business, and he talks about this idea of facing the brutal facts. Right? Facing the brutal facts about the shape of your company, about your bottom line, your employees, all these kinds of things. What's the reality of your situation? And that's a phrase I use a lot with my business clients and with my law enforcement clients. And the fact of the matter is, the first step is we have to step up. We have to face things. And that first one is, hey, I'm afraid. Let me acknowledge the fact that I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm. And very often what happens when you start to think through the process is that our experience tells us over time that most of the times the worst things we worry about aren't happening.
That's right. That's right. And the one of the things that I'm working on now in my new book on time management is that people think about us far less than we think. Right, so all these things that we're worried about people's reactions and what are they thinking about me, and the odds are very good that they're not thinking about you at all.
You know, many years ago, I was a PTA president. We're going back into the late 80s. And I had to, for the first time, I guess, in my life, really get up in front of, you know, 500 or 600 people and speak. And one of the things that I learned that helped me was that the audience doesn't really think about you personally. They're concerned with what information you impart to them, but it's not about you. It's really about them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
Right. So let's talk on step two a little bit more.
Yeah, step two, identify your fear. Identify what it is that you're afraid of. So a lot of times people say that they're afraid of, let's call it public speaking. You know, oh, I'm afraid of public speaking, I could never do it. And then the question is really, what is it you're really afraid of? Are you afraid of public speaking, or are you afraid of the effect or the impact or the possible consequences after you get up on stage? So, for example, when you got up 500, 600 people, if you were afraid to do that, it's not the public speaking in and of itself. It's the, I'm afraid to be embarrassed. I'm afraid that people are laughing at me. I'm afraid that they're judging me. I'm afraid of not being accepted or bombing or not being liked. You know, all those things mm-hmm. are a little bit deeper than the action itself.
Right, we're with Dr. Joe Serio on AM 1300 WMEL discussing the topic of overcoming fear. So, Dr. Joe, in your book particularly, we're going to get into another discussion a little bit later in the show on public speaking, but one of the things that you talk about in the public speaking book, and I think it's relevant to what you're talking about now, is just that you need to have a roadmap, you know, and a plan for how you're addressing the things you're doing.
Right. And most people, I think, well, a lot of people focus on the fear, focus on what they can't do or their perception of what they can't do, or they go after things kind of half-heartedly or not very organized. And the fact of the matter is, it's the plan. Once we sit down and develop a plan, and we go through the details of planning, setting priorities, reaching goals, whatever the topic happens to be, half the problem is solved already. You know, in many cases, the hardest part of the job is developing the plan, except a lot of people, I know in working with entrepreneurs, I had a client I was talking to 2 days ago who does not have a good plan. So she's afraid of the way the business is going, afraid of losing the business, and yet there's no foundation for moving forward. And that's critical. And by the way, the plan is one of those mechanisms that helps reduce fear.
So what steps do you recommend to people in terms of how do you develop a plan to get over fear?
Well, part of the answer to that are some of these steps that we're talking about. I'll give you a quick example. The step 3 and 4 we'll just talk about together is, how do you measure your fear? You know, what are you afraid of? So let's say, for example, I'm afraid of public speaking, and on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 10. It's an 11. And then somebody comes to me and says, hey, I'm going to open this door and let in a pack of hungry wolves. Now, how afraid am I of the hungry wolves? On a scale of 1 to 10, it's 10. Where does that put my public speaking fear? It's, how do we measure? Now my public speaking fear may be 2 on a scale of 1 to 10 in comparison to the wolves.
Interesting. Right? It's relative.
Let me tell you something. I don't really talk about this that much in interviews, but I was living on Long Island when 9/11 happened.
I remember.
And I sat on the couch for 3 weeks watching everything on television. What do you think is possible after that?
Did you feel traumatized?
Yeah, I was definitely traumatized. But the thing is, that for me was one of the pinnacles of outrageous, scary, terrorizing, petrifying, horrific events. We spent half the day looking for my brother, you know, making sure he was okay.
Right.
He was downtown. But after that, after you see all that,
what is it that I have to be afraid of in relative terms, right? If I get up on stage and speak, it's not going to cost me my life, probably won't cost me my job, my salary, whatever.
Right. One of the points that you make in your book about fear is the need to reframe your thoughts so that you know the difference between healthy fear and paralyzing fear.
One of the ways I did that, and this is part of the plan, there are a lot of steps, a lot of pieces to a good plan. One of the ways that I did it for myself was I created a praise file. So the idea is, keep in mind how many times you've been successful already in your life. And so when I would get, my fear would start to get inside of me, I would turn to my desk, slide open the drawer, pull out the file, and it's my praise file. And the praise file was emails and cards that people sent me and said, hey, Joe, we really love the way you did fill in the blank, the way you did that presentation, the article you wrote, the conference you organized, whatever it was. And for just a minute or two, I would look through that file to remind myself, hey, I got this. Look at all these successes I've had in the past. The fear that I'm having now is simply a reaction, an initial gut reaction to this new or maybe difficult thing that's on my plate at the moment. But look at all these things I've conquered in the past. I got this.
Yes, we're listening to Dr. Joe Serio talk about overcoming fear on AM 1300 WMEL. So basically, Joe, what you're saying is fear is a head game.
Oh, my goodness. Fear and all the things that come out of it, bad relationships, temper, doing business, making calls, selling. I deal with a lot of salespeople. Part of their problem is a head game, picking up the phone and making the sales call. All of this stuff is a head game.
Well, the lucky thing about that is that it's also a choice, and we get to choose how we're going to go forward, and all we need to do is learn the right steps to do that.
That's the cornerstone. That is one of the most critical skills for people to understand. A very quick example, how many people are afraid to say no to other people? They say, oh, people ask me for a favor, I can't say no. People ask me for my time, I can't say no. Because of the way I grew up, because of the story, the narrative that I have in my mind, I'll feel guilty if I say no, therefore I say yes to everybody around me. And the result is, I'm afraid to say no, but I'm wasting my time or not using my resources to the best, and I don't get what I really, truly want out of life. And until we decide to make the choice that works for our true life, for what we really want, before we can do that, we will not get to peace, success, accomplishment in the way that we imagine it.
Dr. Joe Serio, we have about a minute and a few extra seconds left on AM 1300 WMEL today. Can you give us your parting thought on change and on overcoming fear, summed up in about a minute here.
One thing I would say is celebrate. A lot of people discount small accomplishments, discount when they do something right, and dismiss it as insignificant, dismiss it as unimportant. Take a minute and celebrate. When you do something right, I don't care how big or small it is, note it and pat yourself on the back a little bit. Don't get carried away, but pat yourself on the back a little bit and say, hey, you know what? I did a good job here. Now
okay.
Let's move forward.
That's a great thought to end this segment of our show, and we're going to be back in a few minutes on AM 1300 WMEL.
AM 1300 WMEL.
Partly sunny skies on this Saturday with a high this afternoon of 74. Tonight, mostly cloudy and a low of 57. Sunday, a 20% chance of rain with a high of 77. Tomorrow night, a 50% chance of rain with 65 as the low. Monday, a 50% chance of rain with a high of 77. And for Tuesday, a 50% chance of rain, partly sunny with a high of 78. It's Glenn Hagee, Ask the Handyman. This afternoon, 12 to 2 on AM 1300.
Merry Christmas, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Adam Waltzmeyer from WMEL's Pop Garden Radio, inviting you to join me Saturday night, December 20th at 8 p.m. for Pop Garden Radio's Christmas special. We'll have 4 hours of holiday music, including classics that you've known for years and new songs that you'll enjoy for years to come. So join us Saturday, December 20th at 8 p.m. for Pop Garden Radio's Christmas special right here on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL.
AM 1300 WMEL.
As the flu season is coming early this year and it's hitting hard, the health organization says the virus is widespread in 29 states, but was widespread in only 4 at this time last year. Federal health officials warned also that this year's flu in the U.S. has mutated and the vaccine doesn't provide as much protection. Pregnant women and the elderly are especially vulnerable. 11 children have died so far this year. The Pentagon has announced the transfer of 4 Guantanamo Bay detainees to Afghanistan. The release came within the last 24 hours. They had been held for more than a decade at the U.S. Military Detention Center in Cuba. Correspondent Patrick Ottman attended Cuban President Raul Castro's speech earlier today. Ottman reports Castro is not willing to compromise on some issues.
In his opinion, the United States doesn't have the right to meddle in Cuba's affairs. He said that Cuba would not try to change its domestic policies or foreign policies to please the United States.
I'm Molly Page.
Are you paying too much for term?
Partly sunny skies on this Saturday with a high this afternoon of 74. Tonight, mostly cloudy and a low of 57. Sunday, a 20% chance of rain with a high of 77. Tomorrow night, a 50% chance of rain with 65 as the low. Monday, a 50% chance of rain with a high of 77. And for Tuesday, a 50% chance of rain, partly sunny with a high of 78. It's Glenn Hagee, Ask the Handyman. This afternoon, 12 to 2 on AM 1300.
Every day, millions of Americans grow more concerned about the future of our great nation. The truth is, over the last century, a small but powerful collectivist movement known as progressivism has debased our politics, our culture, and our currency. We're just a small step from falling into 1,000 years of darkness, as Ronald Reagan warned. Friend, this is Pat Boone with an important free offer on a hot new book called The Great Withdrawal by Craig Smith and Lowell Ponte. This new book explains how we, the people, can end this fatal detour into big government and get back on the path of faith and freedom charted by our founders. Call now for a free copy of the hot new book called The Great Withdrawal.
Call now for your free copy. 800-978-3904. 800-978-3904. 800-978-3904. That's 800-978-3904.
It's the holiday season and a great time to make Panivino Italian Restaurant part of your entertainment plans. Panivino Italian Restaurant, with the largest selection of Italian cheese and meat imported directly from Italy. For authentic Italian wine, Panivino will make your party shine with a wonderful assortment of Italian wine. And of course, don't forget the cookies and cakes baked right there at Panivino Italian Restaurant. I'll bet you won't be able to eat just one delicious cookie or pastry. Panivino has a complete Italian grocery store, too, for pasta, tomato sauce, and more. Make Panivino a part of your entertainment this holiday season. Panivino Italian Restaurant, next to the Premier Movie Theaters on Hibiscus. This is John Harper, and as I've said for 25 years now, food as good as your mother would make at Panivino Italian Restaurant.
Yeah.
Your home for Orlando Magic basketball on the Space Coast is the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL. Tune in Sunday night at 6 p.m. as Nikola Vucevic and the Orlando Magic host Michael Carter-Williams and the Philadelphia 76ers. Dennis Newman and Richie Adubato will have all the action from the Amway Center, starting with the tip-off at 6 p.m. right here on the Space Coast's home for the Magic for 23 years. The Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL.
AM 1300 WMEL.
This is Bold Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bold Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
This is Donna Anselmo, and we're back on AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station, with Bold Talk Business Radio. This is the second half of the hour for us, and we are with Dr. Joe Serio, who is a keynote speaker, trainer, author, and, as he calls himself, former coward, who is known for his work in investigating the Russian mafia. He has a book series, Get the Nerve series of books and workshops that empower people to live their dreams. And one thing we didn't get to talk about at all in the last segment, and I'd just love to touch on before we talk too much about public speaking, which is going to be a great segment in itself. But Dr. Joe Serio, tell us a little bit about how did you get to do undercover work with the Soviet police in Russia many years ago. Tell that story to our listeners.
Well, I had studied Russian in college and moved to Chicago to work at the University of Illinois at Chicago. I was working for the vice chancellor, who actually happened to be a former NYPD detective. And he asked me if I wanted to work in the organized crime control department of the Soviet National Police for 4 months. And I told him no. I had been watching him as a wheeler dealer himself and understood how this works and said, if you send me for a year, I'll do it. So he did. He sent me for a year. I worked with the National Police. And after that, I went on to be the director of the world's leading corporate investigation and business intelligence firm based out of New York, and I was the director of the Moscow office, overseeing investigations across the former Soviet Union on behalf of American and European corporations.
And you mentioned something about originally saying no to that offer to go to Russia. Why did you say no the first time? Was there fear involved in that, or just a strategic decision?
You know, ironically, it was probably one of the first times I wasn't afraid. I said, you know what? I'm going to go after what I want. I'm going to go after something more. So they offered me 4 months. I had not spoken Russian in about 2 years at that point and knew it would take some time to get up to speed. So I said, yeah, I'll do it if you send me for a year. And we negotiated with the Soviets, and they said yes, and we ended up doing it.
Well, you wrote a brilliant book on overcoming fear that gives people very concrete tools to move beyond their self-imposed limitations. And so what we've structured this segment to be about, talking about one of the fears that most people have today, even sometimes getting on the radio, is that fear of public speaking. Where does that come from?
You know, as we mentioned in the earlier segment, it comes from that deep sense that people don't want to be dismissed, they don't want to be alone, and they don't want to have to worry about their survival. So, and that may sound like a heavy part of something like public speaking, but the fact of the matter is when people are afraid, they do things that they know because they don't know what the consequences might be of stepping out of their comfort zone. And they contemplate risks without fully really knowing what the risks or the consequences could be. And they contemplate all these, and they create this fear in their minds that's far bigger, usually far bigger than the actual reality. So when people want to get up on stage, what are the possible consequences? So somebody who's afraid thinks about public speaking, And I say, what are the possible consequences? I'm going to be out of my comfort zone. People may laugh at me. I may embarrass myself. I may get laughed off the stage. And so they create all that, and they hang on to it without realizing that there's a whole logic, there's a whole process for going from being afraid of public speaking to being a comfortable and confident public speaker. But in a mindset of fear, they're not in a position to think about that. They focus only on the fear.
So if you can get beyond your fear, you can begin to create a different reality for yourself. And we have discussed some of the issues with getting over fear. And a lot of it has to do with realizing that the sky isn't really going to fall on your head. And the worst that you're predicting isn't going to happen. And the fact is that you can learn because the people, and I think you make this point in your book, Joe, that the people that we hold up as experts in public speaking that we look at and we say, oh gosh, it's so easy for them. They're so good at that. They practice to get where they are.
Right. And in my experience, I was absolutely petrified of public speaking. In high school, a teacher would ask me to sit down because I couldn't finish reciting a poem because my mind would be totally blank and panicky. In college, I'd be sweating like a water fountain because I was so scared of people judging me. Well, the fact of the matter is, and you touched on this point earlier, the fact of the matter is, it's not about you. It's always about the audience. And if you can take that ego part and reduce it and shift it to realize that it's not about your glory, it's not about your, you know, fame or fortune or anything like that. A good, effective public speaking exercise or engagement is about delivering to the audience what the audience came to hear.
So this is Donna Anselmo on AM 1300 WMEO with Bold Talk Business Radio, and our expert today, Dr. Joseph Serio, joserio.com, and we're discussing public speaking. One of the things that you wrote in your book called Public Speaking, 50 Lessons on Presenting Without Losing Your Cool, is that when we're talking about fear holding us back from doing a good presentation, we need to realize, this is a quote from your book, realize that our fear can be a result of interpretation of events from childhood, a time when we were not particularly qualified to accurately interpret what was happening around us. So can you speak to that?
Well, when it comes to fear, and this is linked to the public speaking, but generally regarding fear, the things that we're afraid of are not happening to us right now. So if I say I'm afraid of public speaking, that may feel like it's the issue today, except the fear of it was generated when I was 4, 5, 8, 9 years old. When I thought, I interpreted, let's take my own case for example, I interpreted in my environment that I could not be good enough, that I would never get the pat on the head or praise from my father, so therefore I'm not good enough. If I'm not good enough, I can't get up on stage and speak in front of 1,000 people. And that's the interpretation that I made growing up. Well, my interpretations growing up at 5, 6, 8, 10 years old were not particularly good. I had no idea what it was like to raise 12 kids. I had no idea what it was like to have a mortgage, a house, a wife, you know, and all those other responsibilities, feeding, clothing, educating that huge family. So I made my own interpretations lacking any other information, and I came up with my own conclusions, and my conclusions in my particular case were based in fear. So I convinced myself that I can't. If you think you can, you're right. If you think you can't, you're right. So by the time I got to high school, when it came time to get up and do public speaking, the story or the narrative that I had grown up convincing myself of is the thing that kicked into high gear. Except it's a construct. It's not real. I chose that story. And if we understand this one thing, if you chose your original story when you were 5, 6, 7 years old, it means that you can choose any other story you want. So right now, I can choose a new story about who I am today, and I can even choose to retell retell a different story from my childhood. I can reinterpret my childhood at this age that I am now and decide that, oh, my father wasn't XYZ. My father wasn't ABC. I can change my interpretation now that I know a lot more than I did back then.
So, Dr. Joe Serio, author of Public Speaking, 50 Lessons on Presenting Without Losing Your Cool, on AM 1300 today, WMEL, the Talk to Me station. When we're talking about managing fear, one of the things that you say in your book is that you should use fear as a motivator rather than an inhibitor. So when you're thinking about kind of recasting the storytelling and reinterpreting the events of the past, is that what you mean about using fear as a motivator instead of an inhibitor, or learning how to kind of unlock some of the mechanisms and games and psychological tricks that you can use to rewrite the story inside your head?
Yeah, there are different kinds of fear. And unfortunately, we use the same word fear for all of it, typically. But we have the butterflies kind of fear, which is not the full-blown, debilitating, paralyzing fear that I'm talking about in my books. But we have the butterfly fear that keeps us, you know, on our toes. It's the difference between being locked down and paralyzed and striving for excellence. So there are a lot of people who are very accomplished, who became very accomplished based on this kind of, what can we call it, achieving fear. Now, the idea is they're still afraid. They're still afraid of being dismissed, or they're still afraid, but they don't lock themselves down in that fear. So the kind of fear that I was experiencing was paralyzing fear, where the story I told myself was, I'm not good enough. I know other people who are afraid, but that fear motivated them and didn't lock them down and motivated them to go get it. There's a third kind of person who is not generally afraid, but courageous. Now, what is courage? Courage is acting not in the absence of fear, but in spite of the fear. That's the major difference. Most of people who get stuck in their fear are the ones, like I was growing up, who have built our personalities and our identities into our accomplishments and our products, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, yeah, well, I can't do anything because I'm so worried about what people are going to say about me.
So what we need to do is to plan a better way for ourselves. And one of the quotes that's in your book that I absolutely love is by Marianne Williamson. It says, love is what we were born with. Fear is what we learned here. So we're talking today with Dr. Joe Serio, joeserio.com, to discuss how to get over a fear of public speaking right now. But earlier in the segment, we were talking about overcoming fear in general. So what are some of the hard nuts and bolts steps that you recommend that people take to after they've become aware of the things they're fearful of, they're recognizing and acknowledging that they have a fear, and now they get down to the point where they're saying, what am I going to do about it? What do you recommend?
Well, if we're talking about public speaking, which is the topic for the segment, I'd like to mention very briefly that my wife was petrified of public speaking less than 6 months ago. And she went and took this major step. One of the major steps I talk about in the book is preparation, preparation, preparation. She joined Toastmasters, the international public speaking organization. She prepared, 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 And then she just threw herself out there. She got up and spoke. Next week, she got up and spoke. Week after that, she got up and spoke. And it was through the preparation that she was able to manage the fear to the extent that she could get up and speak. Prior to that, she couldn't get up and speak at all. The fear was really deep-seated.
Right. And Toastmasters is a great organization, open, welcoming, and understanding of people's need and desire to become better public speakers. Another thought along that line also is that even if you join a small networking group and you just have to master the 30-second introduction or the 60-second introduction, when you're comfortable with that, you can prepare to do something bigger. But I think it's about, you know, just getting yourself into the game. Is that right, Joe?
Oh, you have to take that step. You know, and that's frequently the hardest part, because people, as we mentioned earlier with the fear, they've convinced themselves that the fear is real and everything that they believe about themselves is true, so therefore they never take the first step. And one way to do it is to not go alone. That's the beauty of the Toastmasters, right? People who attend Toastmasters meetings are folks who, a lot of them come in afraid of public speaking. And generally, the philosophy of the organization is, hey, we're here to support you. No one's laughing at you. No one's making fun of you. No one's judging you. So it's a safe environment to take that first step. And if you don't have Toastmasters, as you just mentioned, if you have friends, colleagues, mastermind groups, even friends at a meetup group or a coffee or something like that, that you can go do it with, everything becomes so much easier when you're not left on your own to do it.
That is
same
so,
with public speaking.
That is so true. So we have preparation in terms of understanding what your message, what message you really want to get across, and then preparation in terms of practice, 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 as you said. What about just practicing with somebody in a very non-threatening environment, like being at home?
You know, it's funny you mention that, and I have to mention my wife again and give her all the credit.
Congratulations to her and to you on your recent marriage, too.
Thanks. So before she goes to Toastmasters, her process is she writes her presentation and practices it by herself in the bathroom in front of the mirror. And I'm not allowed to walk in. She's made that very clear. So she does it to the point where she's comfortable. And then she comes out and presents it in front of me. Now, that's pretty nervy. That's a lot of courage. That's pretty brave for her to come and present some of the most delicate emotions she has around public speaking in front of the most intimate partner she has in the world. And you can imagine the potential fear for somebody saying, oh, if my husband or my wife or my best friend rejects me or makes fun of me while I'm doing this, that will be devastating. Well, she said, you know what? This is what I'm doing. I'm going to deliver this in front of you. And that made all the difference. Can I tell you something? Just a little husband bragging. She has stepped up at Toastmasters and in the span of about 3 months has walked home with more than a dozen ribbons for excellent presentations and the other roles and positions that they have in Toastmasters. She's doing phenomenally well. And this is a woman who 6 months ago was petrified of public speaking.
Well, another quote that you have in your book, Dr. Joe Serio, in your book, Public Speaking, 50 Lessons on Presenting Without Losing Your Cool, is a quote from Colin Powell that says, there are no secrets to success. It is the result of preparation, hard work, and learning from failure, so that even if you make a mistake, it's okay, because the mistake leads you to understand what maybe you didn't do right, so you can do it better the next time. So
That's right. An important part of it. And the other half is most people who were there to observe your quote-unquote mistake are not going to remember it an hour after you finish speaking.
And you know what? Most people don't even know you made a mistake. It's usually the mistake in your head, because they didn't know what you really planned to say anyway.
Exactly. And that's a mistake a lot of people make who are starting out in public speaking. They wring their hands and say, and they'll actually say to the audience, oh, I forgot to tell you. Well, the audience didn't know you forgot. The audience didn't know what was coming. So you don't need to try to shove in every little piece of material that you prepared, and the audience won't know that it wasn't there.
So talk a little bit about your feelings about memorizing a public presentation as opposed to ad-libbing and being prepared in a different way. We have about two minutes to go.
How many?
Two minutes left.
I am okay with memorizing if you're at the very beginning of getting the nerve to step up on stage, step up in front of an audience. But generally speaking, I'm not. I mean, after that, there's no memorizing for me, and this is the way I prefer to speak. And the best speakers are well-rehearsed in the sense that they've given the presentation many times before, but they're not trying to remember what sentence comes next. They're deep in their material, and they know the ins and outs of the material. They know how to ad-lib and get back on track seamlessly. They're like comedians. If you see a comedian on HBO who's doing a special, well, they've taken that act, and they've done it all over the country, and they've polished it and honed it, and they know how to get in and out and around it. Same thing with other forms of public speaking.
So in less than a minute, can we sum up how somebody gets to, you know, present in an authentic way? You know, a quick piece of advice, Dr. Joe Serio?
Number one, prepare, prepare, prepare. Number two, be yourself. Number three, always remember that it's always about the audience.
Thank you very much for that. We've got just a little bit of time left. I'd like you to tell the audience how they can get in touch with you. I know your website is joeserio.com. Is there another way that people can reach you if they want to know, because you do training in all sorts of areas? So quick phone number?
Yes, phone number 936-577-8345 and email joe@joeserio.com.
Thank you. We're going to sign off today from Bold Talk Business Radio, AM 1300 WMEL.
For 14 years, Good News Naturally with Tom Sokolov has been our little secret in health and nutrition radio. As the owner of Paradise Health and Nutrition, educated the Space Coast about vitamins, supplements, and healthy living. Now the secret is out, as Tom is expanding his show nationwide. But don't worry, Tom has enough knowledge to share with everyone. Good News Naturally with Tom Sokolov, weekday mornings at 10, right here on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL.
And this is Wayne West, live in the AM 1300 WMEL control room. I want to say Merry Christmas to everyone on behalf of all of us here at WMEL, to you and your family. You've been listening to the Donna Anselmo Show on your Talk to Me station. And we're coming up on the top of the hour. Just a reminder here that a little history note before we get into the news here, that it was on this day, this coming weekend back in 1968, when the crew of Apollo 8 were orbiting over the moon. They did not land. If you remember, the landing occurred on Apollo 11 in 1969, but this is 68, and the crew orbiting above the moon, and they read back a Christmas message to all of us here on Earth.
Dry land, earth, and the gathering together of the waters called these seas.
And thank you very much. That was the message from the Book of Genesis. That was the crew commander of then Apollo 8, Frank Borman. And also the crew members aboard were Jim Lovell, if you remember that name. He would later command Apollo 13, the mission that did not make it to the moon because of that explosion on board the spacecraft. Also, the lunar module pilot was William Anders. All of them aboard Apollo 8 on Christmas Eve, 1968.
Partly sunny skies for this Saturday with a high today of 74. Tonight's low 57. Tomorrow a 20% chance of rain with a high of 77. Tomorrow night a 50% chance of rain, low of 65. Monday a 50% chance of rain with a high of 77. Tuesday a 50% chance of rain, partly sunny with a high of 78. It's the Garden Rebel, Robert Vincent Sims. Sunday mornings 10 a.m. to 12 noon here on AM 1300.
Now you can hear 1300 WMEL.